Dear friends, I want to make sure I got Nicholas in sight and Ingrid in sight. I might look to you a few times in this sermon. So just want to know where you're at, okay? Know where you are. I can locate you. For the last couple days, with the help of my wife, we asked questions about what is the sturdiest material that we could find. And I won't name the places that we went to because I don't want to tell you where I ultimately found it. I don't want to give, a leaning to one fabric place or another. The one that we finally went to, and others also suggested this material. They told me that the material that is the sturdiest and best is called duck cloth. Do you know what this is? I had no clue. Duck cloth. And so when the lady was explaining this at one of the stores, she said, it's the sturdiest not because of the color. There's lots of options. In fact, I got some material that's blue and also purple here, and here's red right in front of me. Others are looking here. It is here, I promise. Blue and purple. The lady went on to explain, and don't be tricked by what you see. When you look at the material, there's something that really determines the sturdiness and how strong a material is. And she explains it's microscopic fibers that you can't see. She went on to say these fibers are very long, and they're long, and they're more in length than they are in width, but they're microscopic. You can't see them at all. But she said, with duck cloth, those fibers are the sturdiest, and you can't just tear it, and it's not easily worn. It's stiff, sturdy material. Now, I want to start off this morning by saying to you that I want to talk about promises this morning. Promises. When we make and keep promises, promise-making and promise-keeping is kind of like those microscopic fibers of cloth. You can't see it out there. You can't see the promises that you make and the promises that you keep. But here's the gist. If you make promises and you keep promises, you will be healthy and sturdy, and you'll live a good life. But the opposite is true. If you don't make promises and you don't keep promises as well, life can tear you apart in shreds, and it can go in a very difficult direction for you. We want to be people that make and keep promises. How good are we at promise making and promise keeping today? Are we doing well with that in our society and culture? Probably not. I'm going to tell a little joke here. Maybe you've heard it before about promises, and I think it might get a little chuckle out of you, because we don't really think people follow through on their promises. Stories told of a dying man who came up with a plan for three of his closest friends, a lawyer, a doctor, and a pastor. And the plan was this. He gave them $25,000 cash. And he explained to them that after he died, he wanted each one of them to promise to place the envelope with the cash into the coffin so that he could be buried with the money. A couple weeks passed, and the man actually died. Monies were given out in envelopes, $25,000 to the preacher, $25,000 to the doctor, $25,000 to the lawyer. Several months passed, and the three got together for a meal to discuss what they did with those envelopes. The doctor piped up and said, well, I'm proud of what I did. I put $10,000 in the envelope and put it in the coffin. And I gave the other $15,000 to a medical philanthropy that's curing some diseases that are just causing world havoc today. And the doctor felt really good about that. Preacher stood up and said, well, I put $8,000 in the envelope and put it into the coffin. And I ended up giving $17,000 to a mission down in South America because God's love needs to go out to the other hemisphere of the earth, the southern hemisphere. And with this, the lawyer was enraged and disgusted. You guys didn't put all your money back into that envelope as you promised our friend. Let me tell you what I did. I put a note with an IOU of $25,000 and put it in the envelope and placed it into the coffin. See, I knew you'd laugh. And you're laughing, I think, because you don't believe the lawyer's going to pay the $25,000 down the road. And you might be surprised because you're probably thinking, I'm surprised the doctor even gave $15,000 or even $10,000. You might be surprised. The pastor, I'm surprised he even gave any money at all. That's where we're at with today's society and culture. Promises. Promise making, promise keeping. And you see, this is where our society and our families and our churches, this is where we're torn apart. When we're not good with promises that we make. There's two parts to that fiber that makes us strong and sturdy in life. Two parts. The first is promise making. Now, someone might be raising their hand right now and saying, Pastor, please don't tell our children to make promises. That's going to get them into trouble. It's best not to make promises so that you can leave all the options out there. You don't have to commit to anything. Friends, that's the ongoing philosophy of today's culture and society. Don't make any promises. Leave your options out there. In fact, it's said today that you shouldn't try to schedule anything with someone a month out in advance, because if you do it, you're kind of eliminating all the options of the other things that you could do. But here's the thing, friends. What would our society be like if there weren't promises made? What would happen if spouses didn't make promises to one another? What would happen if families stopped making promises to one another to have dinner together and to go to bed at the same time? This church service couldn't even go on this morning without some promises being made to be here and to be committed. Someone offered to bring flowers this morning. Thank you, Goop Rod. Someone came to play our music on the organ and promised to be here. Thank you, Colleen. Someone promised to greet. Someone promised to be an usher. Someone promised to be a fellowship host. This church can't go on without promises being made. That's super important. And the decay that's happening in society so often can be pinpointed to people just not stepping out and making any promises at all. We need to make promises. We need to offer them to one another in our relationships, to our God. The other part of that, so we make promises. The other part of this is that we keep our promises. How are we doing with that? Keeping promises? Are we good with keeping promises? We're not so good. I don't know if you caught it in today's text. Thank you, Elizabeth, for reading this morning. But 1 Kings chapter 19. Elisha, the prophet, is living in a society and culture that has stopped keeping promises. The Israelites, after they came through the Red Sea, they made lots of promises to God at that point. They said, we will honor you alone, God. We will worship you alone with your word. And we will follow you no matter what. But here in 1 Kings, a couple generations have passed by. And here we have Elisha the prophet. And two times he says in today's text, God's people have forsaken you. They no longer worship you. They go off and they leave their options open and they do whatever they want. Promises are not kept, Elisha says. You know, that's a difficult spot. What a terrible spot for the prophet to be in, Elisha. Can you imagine? He keeps promises. Nobody else keeps their promises. That's Elisha the prophet, and he wants to be dead. You know, it could be Nicholas, Ingrid. It could be that you live in a culture in the next generation in which no one keeps their promises. No one. Be Elijah. Be Elijah. Keep your promises. Make promises. Keep promises. That'll make the difference. You know, I'm going to hold off here for a little bit, Roy. Hold on one second. Christians are people that make promises and keep promises. Now, it's not to say that we're perfect, but it is to say this. We are cut from the same cloth of our God. Our God made us in His image. Our God is the only God I know of any religion that makes bold promises. Here are some of them. Noah, I'm going to send a flood and you're going to survive in an ark. Abram, you're old and crazy. I'm going to give you a son in your old age and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. To the Israelites, God made a promise. They were wayward and they were lost. They were slaves. God said, I'm going to deliver you into the promised land. And friends, to each one of you, God says, He makes a promise. As crazy as it is, God says, I will never leave or forsake you. That's a bold promise. Our God does not sit on the sidelines and say, I'm going to see all the options and see all the people that I could choose. He promises you He'll never leave or forsake you. And He keeps His promises, no matter what. Every promise in the Bible has come true. And to make sure that we know that scientifically and dramatically, He sent His Son so that we could know that every promise is true, that He'll never leave or forsake us. And our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who sent His Son Jesus, who's made of that cloth, has said, you are cut of my cloth. You are people that make promises and keep promises. I shared this week in my email, and I don't know if everyone saw it. I know there's some people that are not on my email list that are here today. I shared a story about a lady that was 101 years old named Clarice. I don't know if you caught the story. I want to share it with you, those that are not here, that didn't catch that, one more time. A lady who was 101 years old was taking care of her 89-year-old brother who was suffering from a stroke. And he could not say anything intelligibly back to the sister that was caring for him. And this 101-year-old Clarice was also taking care of a 95-year-old sister that had advanced dementia. And she could say nothing intelligible back to Clarice. And the interviewer, this was on NPR, the interviewer was shocked by all this and said back to the brother and sister, she said, why have you done this? Why would you do this at 101 years old? And Clarice said this, I made a promise to the Lord if I was able that I would take care of my brother and my sister no matter what. That's shocking to us because people don't keep promises these days. The interviewer then went on and said this, well, if you imagined your brother or sister could say anything back to you, what do you think they would say? And Clarice said, I don't know what they'd say, but I think they'd say, thank you. What determination, what commitment by this 101-year-old lady? And friends, that's the commitment that God has made with each one of you. Actually, we no matter what our condition is, no matter the fact that we have very little to offer back to God, God remains committed to us, as He did with Elijah, the great prophet in 1 Kings chapter 19. He stayed true to His people and stayed true to His promise, even though they were wayward and going off in a different direction. And so, Nicholas and Ingrid, in just a few moments, you're going to make promises at our church. We want you to keep those promises, okay? We're going to make promises, we're going to keep promises. It's the role of everyone in this congregation to help them with that. In their faith life, in their commitment with their friends, in their relationships, we're going to help them, those promises they make and the promises to keep them as they share them here at Peace. And Nicholas and Ingrid, if the only thing that you do in your life is make promises and keep promises, you've lived a worthy life. And every single person will be proud of you no matter what. That's the life of Elijah the prophet. So let's do that today, all of us. Let's make promises and keep promises and live the life of Elijah the great prophet. Amen.